I'd like to welcome everyone to the Pacific Institute's Kitchen Table. The intent of the Kitchen Table is to provide a platform where we are able to share and discuss the dynamic world of cognitive science and the specific role it plays in performance. I'd like to introduce our co-hosts, Greg Coughlin and Ron Medved from the Pacific Institute. They have over four decades of experience working with hundreds of organizations on applying cognitive psychology and science. Pull up a chair. Let's get started.
Back, everyone, to the Kitchen Table. Ron and Dave are here today, and we're picking up on our work that we've been doing on a wisdom project. Today, we're going to have a story time from Ron that he's brought up a couple times on our meeting, and we thought it'd be worthwhile to hear his transcending story. Dave, any quick comments before we turn it over to Ron?
Yeah, only that I'm really looking forward to hearing the story and listening actively for how I can maybe ask a couple of questions after to help Ron to reflect on some of the significance found in the story. So really looking forward to it, Ron. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you bet. My story is really a love story. And it starts with a breakthrough for myself in sort of learning about how to love myself better. But the story that I want to tell today is that I went on a vacation up in the British Columbia in the San Juan Islands up there. Beautiful, beautiful country, by the way. And a friend of mine, a friend of ours, I should say, my wife and I at the time, had a sailboat. And so I was on a sailboat up in the islands, and it was just beautiful weather. I flew in there on a float plane. I went up and joined the group late because I had work to do. But anyway, I got on that sailboat. It's late August 1985. I was really was able to get relaxed up there, and so much so that, you know, I remember that we would be puttering. We were actually using the motor on the sailboat, not the sails so much, but we would be going from port to port. And I had a sketch pad with me, and I was sketching the different ports that we would go into. And so I was drawing and you know, far away from sort of the concerns about work and all of that. And the other thing that I would do is that I would go and I would spend time on the front of the sailboat. I'd actually be standing there, and I'd be looking out at the horizon or looking out in front of me, and just daydreaming, really. A very, very relaxing sort of little practice that I did every day. I think we were up there for 10 days or so. But anyway, I remember I was up on the front of the boat one day, and I was we'd been, you know, out in the islands there for a good week. And, just, you know, I call it a transcendent experience, but it was a real realization just kind of came over me that I had in fact, fallen in love with Callie, my present wife, the woman that, you know, my second marriage. You know, that it was, if I thought about it in sort of my old fashioned way, there was all sorts of complications to that. I mean, I was already married to somebody else. You know, it certainly sort of went against my Catholic tradition, you know, that I had grown up. You know, I didn't think through all the consequences of it, but what I couldn't deny was the fact that, you know, I was in love with Callie. I could pretend like I wasn't, you know, I could argue with myself that I wasn't, but in fact, I knew sort of deep down that this was the truth. And so to make a long story short, and maybe we'll get back into some of those details, but, you know, I ended up coming back to Seattle. I actually went back by myself because I needed to leave the vacation up there sooner than everybody else. Callie was my working partner, and I was very uncomfortable seeing her the first time after I had come back on the sailboat. But with too much time did not go by where, you know, I did say to her, I'm really attracted to you, but there's nothing that I can do about it. And that ends up being a standing joke for us to this day. We're having our 35th wedding anniversary this Saturday. The reason I tell you that story is because it was a result of a lot of prayer and wondering and surrender. The answer came in again, what I'm calling kind of a transcendent way. So there you go, guys.
Why did you feel it was transcending? And you also, you had a theological background to this as well.
Yeah. Well, just in my journey, you know, through my Catholic faith, and then, you know, led me to reading the New Testament as a practice, and actually as a task for myself. I wanted to, as much Catholic education that I had, I wanted to sort of understand the Bible as directly as I could. You know, what values came through? What did Christ really mean? What did he say? And so I had gone through that exercise had another transcendent experience earlier that month in early August that basically stopped me in my tracks and kind of gave me the answer. And the answer for me was that Jesus was about love and kindness, and that is the value that he came to sort of share with everybody else. And so I was sort of basking in sort of the realization of that, when in fact I came to understand that I needed to love myself better was really principle number one. And it was like several weeks later that this experience on the sailboat happened.
So what about the environment and the mindset you were in on the sailboat led to, or was pivotal for, this revelation of love?
Well, like I said, I mean, I was on a beautiful location, and you know, I was, you know, able to sort of find myself in a increasingly relaxing space, again, I'm an amateur artist, and so I, you know, the drawing put me even into a deeper space. But when I was standing on the bow of the sailboat, and that realization hit me, it was undeniable, and it was there was a certainty to it that had a lot of uncomfortableness to it. But it was a certainty just the same. And, you know, now I look back on that experience, and again, that was, you know, over 38 years ago. I can see it, and I can feel it as plain as it happened yesterday.
And what did that, like, when we talk about the Wisdom Project, we're sort of searching for knowledge and and maturity. And you used the word certainty. Was that what was so profound about the Jesus's love? And I love Kelly. Was that what really hit you?
Yeah, Greg, it's interesting that you pick up on that certainty, because I could go back and forth in my own mind the pros and cons of this and the pros and cons of that, and even my own faith. But I prayed for, as I was reading that New Testament, I was praying for something. I didn't know what it was. I kind of left it in the prayer's hands, I think my prayer was, thy will be done. I surrender to this. And I think what I surrendered to was, a deep, soulful and, or subconscious or whatever sort of commitment to gain some enlightenment and gain some understanding. And so when it came with certainty. Mm-hmm. And that's an experience that I've never forgotten.
Did it influence, like, would you say you were more mature? Like it took you to a different level of maturity?
Well, maturity is maybe not the first word that I would choose, but it certainly brought me to a new level of honesty. I think honesty with myself, and honesty with my life. As I look back on it, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Hmm. Well, it's sort of you're telling the story, there's sort of an emotion to it that gives you that transcending kind of, this is something significant. Dave, comments to this or questions for Ron?
The experience of the certainty was accompanied by some misgivings based on how complicated this would be in your life. Is that fair to say? And how did you deal with those? And what was the internal struggle you had with the reality of this certainty?
As I, there was sort of like two levels. There was two levels of experiencing this love for Kelly, one was, sort of my history, and again I use the word scrupulosity, which is you might have to look it up, but it's it means having anxiety about what you believe, so there was always with me, like, on right and wrong, there was always this debate and, going on inside of myself. And I always, I always wanted to sort of end up with the right answer, whatever that was. I think that the experience on the sailboat was a certainty that I had never experienced before. And given all the complications, and man, there really were some, it was like, there was, in a way, knowing, no going back, when you know what you know, and you believe that you were blessed with that knowing, if you want to debate that with yourself, God help you, because it was sort of a moment of truth in that. Are you gonna believe in this inner voice of yours? Are you gonna accept, this deep sort of certainty or not. And so anyway, I mean, my whole life before that, while sort of successful on one level, you know, was fraught with a kind of anxiety, that for the most part disappeared after that. Not that I've not had to sort of nurture you know, that transcendent experience over the years. I pray every day, you know, or I do some meditation every day in order to sort of strengthen that or to sort of reinforce that experience, because it ended up being, you know, the most important thing that happened to me in a pretty successful life. This was more successful than anything.
You know, when we define wisdom as the ability to use knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgment, you know, to discern what is true, right, or lasting, even though this discovery or this certainty created complexity in your life, there was this, it was undeniable. Is that kind of, you felt the transcending part is this is true?
Yeah, that was certainly part of it. It was certainly true. There were even more complications if I wanted to try to deny it. But again, I think there was also this overriding sense that my prayers had been answered. I considered this realization a blessing. And there was a quality to that feeling and that emotion, that experience, that it would have, you know, driven me mad not to accept that as a real truth in my life.
Yeah. You know, Ron, thanks so much for sharing the story. You know, I think what we're learning through this Wisdom Project is the power of stories or our stories. If you use them, and Dave, you've mentioned this a couple times, is looking at the story sort of as holding it outside of you and exploring and reaffirming, revising, exchanging, you know, examining to be able to get to your central story. And that's what I hear on this is what became a central part of your story is love. Have I got it right?
For sure. And kindness. And I would sort of emphasize that it's not just kindness to others, but it's kindness to yourself. And you can torture yourself, you know, and I guess that's what scrupulosity is all about, but being kind to yourself and trusting yourself, and trusting in my particular case, my relationship with God, that was worth everything. And you know, I must just add, I read the New Testament every day for 2 years before I got to a point of like really getting the love and kindness message that I was asking for. And so it wasn't without its work and it wasn't without its faith, you know, it was. And you know, the other thing I'll just say, maybe kind of in closing here, please let me close this story up. it's so personal that I haven't really talked about it, you know, to anybody. Some of these deep feelings and these deep experiences, I haven't really shared it with anybody before you guys. And you know, I've it's been my own sort of private blessing, you know, to a great extent. And so I've noticed that, you know, one of the subjects that we've talked about here on our podcast about the afternoon of life. You know, I think that this is also sharing this story. This central story is also a product of my afternoon of life, because I'm wanting to be less ambitious and more genuine and sharing, you know, at this stage in my life. That's asking me to sort of go deeper and to be not so private, and to share some of these things. And so, you know, as I alluded to, I'm uncomfortable kind of sharing this even now, because it's something that's been in my own private world. But in terms of like the Wisdom Project, I mean, you know, I think, you know, we talk about wisdom being an intellectual thing, but it's also a transcendent and emotional thing as well. And I think my story sort of illustrates that.
Thank you, Ron. You know, I guess Dave, last comments to you, if you'd anything to say, otherwise I'll wrap up.
I find this to be an excellent example of a story that has relational elements, emotional elements. You know, it's about the things that Ron's done. And I think you've demonstrated, Ron, through the reflection on the story, a way of coming to greater wisdom, to greater authenticity to yourself. The afternoon of life is really about being truthful about with ourselves and with others about who we are, and being consistent with that. And so I think from the time on the sailboat to now, I think you've been kind of journeying towards that authentic self. And so thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Well, there, we'll pause there. We'll let you off the hook, Ron. That's a...
Thank God.
Your courage to tell the story. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us at the kitchen table. We'll see you next time. Be well.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast with the Pacific Institute. If you like what you heard today, click the like button, or perhaps share this podcast with friends and family. For more information on TPI or how to get in contact with us, please visit www.tpikitchentable.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. See you next time at the kitchen table.